first topic today is Rama'ut, Gnevat Da'at, and Amum Bamekach. Rama'ut means trickery. Gnevat Da'at means misleading someone. Literally stealing their mind, but that's not English. I mean, misleading someone. They think one thing and the truth is something else. And Amum Bamekach is that when they're buying something, you don't tell them no, let them know that there's a problem with it. There's no problem with selling anything with any problem as long as it's fully above board. Person knows what they're getting into. Problem is, if they think they're getting a perfectly good item and you don't tell them, and then it's really, really problematic. So what are the rules for that? When do you have to let them know? What do you have to do? How careful do we have to be? So let's do that topic now. Asur l'ramot b'nei adam b'mekach b'memkar olignod da'atam afim wakum okigon lo yimkor lo basar trefa b'schezchat shchuta. You can't trick anyone in business. You can't fool them in any way. Even if it's a non-Jew, again, these rules apply equally, Jews and non-Jews. For example, even a non-Jew, you can't sell him non-kosher meat. What's the problem? He can eat non-kosher meat if he thinks it's kosher meat. Okay? You could sell non-kosher meat to a non-Jew. You just have to say, hey, I'm selling you non-kosher meat. Meaning, don't let him think that it's kosher meat in any way, and then it's no problem. There's no issue. He's allowed to eat it, and you're allowed to sell it. There are certain rules about when you're allowed to sell it. We might get to that shortly, later today, if we get to it. But it just has to be clear that it's non-kosher meat. He shouldn't be thinking, I'm getting the kosher meat, and really he's getting non-kosher meat. V'chein asur lomar sheyesh lo tuda mikzoi. Person can't say that he has a certification, or tuda shegamar ezel limudei chol betov, or he has a degree. In bemet in lo atuda, if you don't have the degree, afilu yesh lo ela sherach shabor ma, or if you somehow got a piece of paper stating it, but you didn't, you know, do the work, you just paid a guy and you got a certificate, that would also be. Where the job requires the degree, or, meaning if it doesn't require a degree, where they look at, you know, what's your background? Oh, he has a degree in that. So it doesn't mean necessarily the job requires a degree, but they hired you because they were impressed by you because they thought you had a degree, that's misleading. V'chein asur l'gabei tzedakah lomar l'tormim sh'osef l'matara acheret mizo l'shma osef bemet mishum l'matara zononim yoter. Not everything's allowed just because it's stucco. We've been through this a few times, right? So here too, he says, I'm collecting for, poor people. I'm collecting for this family of orphans who doesn't have, and everybody feels so bad and gives lots of money. And turns out, what's he, collecting for really? To pay for his kolel or whatever, or just some other important need in the community, whatever it may be. So there may be worthy causes. But you can't say one thing and then use the money for something else. In the world, even in the yeshiva, they're very careful about it. In other words, sometimes a person will give, okay, I'll give this amount of money to build your building. So they have a building project going on. So what if they raise $10 million and $9.5 million, and they manage to build the building with $9.5 million, do they have to give back the other? So we're careful to say, okay, we'll put it towards that. And, it's a donation to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva is building this building. But there's no real, and we'll put your name on a plaque in the building. But what if, the other dollar just goes to fund the yeshiva? So we don't want anyone to be thinking something specific. Yotet. Without details, anytime a person buys something or rents something, he thinks he's getting a complete item without any blemish, without any issue of it. That could be a physical blemish, something wrong with it, or you have to let him know, hey, there's this other, this house I'm selling you, there's this other guy who thinks he owns it too. And if you buy this house, he's going to be taking you to court. So what? It's a perfectly good house. It doesn't need a paint job. It's a wonderful pool. Whatever else you think's going on. Oh, except for the crazy guy who thinks he owns it. So I have to let you know that, even if it's not something part of the house. Okay? If a person thinks he's getting ownership, he has to know. And therefore, if there's a problem like that, you have to let him know. L'chein tzarech ha-mocher l'farei shamum sh'yish bim karo k'dei sh'yim cholo zeh lokeach. So any problem, you have to let him know so he can be mocha. Hey, I'm selling you this car with a dent in the fender. Okay, It's a little bit cheaper, therefore. So therefore, I'm fine with it. The person's allowed to buy a dented car. He may want to, and that way, instead of paying $50,000, he's going to pay $10,000. Whatever it is. But as long as he knows, what he shouldn't be doing is, hey, do you want to buy this car? And don't tell him there's a dent in it. Then that's a problem. Yes, Eitan?
Doesn't matter, well, how much of the details do you have to put in? Like,
okay, we're going to get to that in a little bit, because there's certain things that people accept or a certain value. We'll get to that in 1 minute. But in general, if it's something that the person would want to know, so you have to make sure they know it first. Okay, if the person would feel cheated if they found it out afterward, it would be a blemish. So Shulchan Aruch, by the way, says it's even if it's a subjective blemish. In other words, let's say the person is looking to buy. Let's give as an example. Let's say person's looking to buy a piece of software. Again, this is from my background. So a person's looking to buy software for his company. And he wants it to do X, Y, and Z. So he says, yeah, I want to buy software A because it does X, Y, and Z. So you know software A doesn't do Z. Only does X and Y. So you can't say, hey, he wants to buy A, I'm going to sell him A. No, you have to let him know, listen, I know you want to buy A, but A doesn't actually do Z. Oh, it doesn't do Z. So he can decide he wants to buy it anyway. That's his problem. But you can't, knowing that he's buying A, program A, in order to perform certain functions, and it doesn't perform it, you can't sell him that knowing that it doesn't do it. That doesn't mean there's a problem with A. A is a wonderful program. It does functions, you know, A to Y, right? It does wonderful things. But you can't sell it to him knowing that that's why he's doing it. If he doesn't, if a guy walks in and says, hey, I want to buy A, sell him A. But if he says, I want to buy A because I need it to do, and you know that it doesn't do some of the things he mentions, so you can't sell it to them. So that's a subjective blemish. It's not an inherent problem in the program. The program is wonderful. And again, it's even if there's no anah, even if he's paying the going value, if he doesn't know, if he ends up with the wrong product, it's a problem. גם דאי מומר לו אלוקח כל מום שימצא במקח זה הפוחית דמיו, עד כך וכך קיבלתי. If a person says, and this is sort of answers your question as well, he says, listen, I'm buying a $10,000 car. Okay, so you don't have to tell me any problem that I can fix for less than $100. Okay, so then you don't have to tell him, listen, yesterday my little kid was scratching his fingernail. I think if you look really, really close next to the front mirror, you might see a little mark. Okay, so then you don't have to tell him that. Okay, if he says that to you. Okay, if it's like any basic normal thing that he's accepting. But, oh, I forgot to tell you, you need to replace the transmission. It's going to cost you an extra, you know, $2,000 before you drive anywhere. So that you got to let him know. That's the example. Vasur lomar, sheyesh mum plonia plonia gluyim, gam lomar mum sheino nikar bechlalam. And באמת המומים הגלויים אינם שם, כי עכשיו לוקח השם שאין בו אלו מומים הגלויים, כך אין בו מום הנסתר. So the example he gives is, everyone sees this car. Right now there's a big... Everyone sees the car. There's damage that's not visible. Okay, you have to replace the muffler, something that you can't see. And he says, listen, there's a big scratch on the bumper. And there's a big issue with this trunk. And there's an issue with the muffler. Okay? Now he looks at the bumper. Either there's no scratch, no dent, or it's the tiniest little one. And he goes and looks at the trunk, and the trunk is completely fine. And then, so he goes, okay, this guy's telling me even the tiniest little problems with this car, and again, I don't care about them. And then what does he not do? He doesn't bother checking the muffler, transmission, whatever's wrong with it. So because you mentioned some things that weren't wrong with it, with the thing that was wrong with it, so that's also a problem. Because he's going to think the thing that is wrong with it is also not wrong with it. Okay? But you can't go, hey, I mentioned all the problems. I did mention it, but you mentioned it along with some that weren't problems. Okay? So that's also misleading. And that's the final answer to your question. It's whatever people in that locale consider to be an issue with, in other words, if there's standards and practices. If the standard is that you have to let the person know about this kind of issue with the car, then you have to let them know. If the standard is that everyone is okay with it or ignores it, then you don't have to let them know. It could be that the standard is that you put a picture of the car. So anything that's visible, you don't have to let them know because he sees the car. And you only have to let him know things not visible. So you didn't mention the thing on the side, but he saw the thing on the side. You don't have to mention it. In other words, as long as that's the standard, that's allowed. You can't assume, because the guy doesn't care about one thing, doesn't care about another thing. Like, he doesn't care about the car's paint job, therefore he doesn't care about the engine. You don't have to give a full list. You could say, I think this car needs about $1,000 worth of work. And that's allowed. You don't have to give, it's $100 to fix this and $100 to fix that. You don't have to do that. You can say, I'm selling you a car for $10,000, and I believe it needs about $1,000 of work. Now the person knows, therefore, that essentially he's buying a car for $11,000. $10,000 from you, and $1,000 from the garage. That's legitimate. Chaf. Ein osim maseh v'mekach im al yedei kach yehe achevetz nir v'ein elokach shone v'chashuv yoter kfi shu be'emet. You can't do anything to an item you're selling if it's going to make the item look different or more important or better than it really is. That's trickery and thievery and lying and business, even if you don't end up charging more than it's worth, even without the ona. Taking something old and making it look like new. You clean it up. You always have to mark it refurbished. You can't sell refurbished as new. Okay, like new, that's how the industry came up with it, right? You could go on websites and what's the condition of the item? There's new and then there's like new. Okay, like new could be great. I bought books that were like new. The guy read it, was done with it. I don't know, looks as good as new. Maybe a little, so there's not so much wear and tear. So certain items, I'm fine with it like new. Certain items, I want to be, you know, I don't want your toothbrush like new. Okay, I want new. So you have to, if you can't, you can't just clean it well and put it in a nice new package and then call it new. Okay, that would be Gneivas Das. That would be usur. That would be stealing. Kegon mishemocher kitniot asur levrorak psholim elyonim lasher psholim tachnonim gibichach yisbar konesh kulam rirum psholim. Also, if I'm selling you fruits or nuts, so there's a big bucket pile of them, and so what do? The top row of them, I take out all the bad ones. So everybody comes, looks, and sees only nice fruit and only nice nuts. And then when I give them a bucket full, a shovel full, a bag full, a kilo, they're going to get a lot of bad ones too. So he says, that's dishonest, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, they think, oh, look at the great, man, give me a bucket of those. But really, they're getting a bucket of those and some bad ones too. So that you're not allowed to do. You can't just pick out the bad ones from the top. You can pick out the bad ones. So you can advertise, I picked out all the bad ones. Come to me, you know, pay a little bit extra. You're getting only great fruit and I stand by it and guarantee it. Totally legitimate. And therefore you're allowed to raise your prices. Everybody else is going to charge 5 shekel a kilo. You're going to charge 10 because you're guaranteeing they're great. Totally legitimate. What you're not allowed to do is charge 5 like everybody else. And everybody else has a mixture of good and bad ones, and you know, luck of the draw. And this guy thinks if he comes to you, he's getting good ones because you pulled all the bad ones off the top, whether or not you threw them away or shoved them in the bottom. So that would be not allowed. Yes.
Is that only if the person can't find for
it? Yeah, if he can do it for themselves and you let him, then it's okay. Uh-huh. If you let the person say, pick whichever cherry here you want, and I've had sellers let me do that. I was like, can I pick it? You know, they're for something. Okay, go for it. You know. So I guess he thought they were all good or good enough, he didn't care. So then sure, you're allowed to do that. But otherwise, that's the deal, that either I'm buying a mixture like everybody else, and the mixture has to be fair. That's how halacha works. Chafa, well, before we get to chafa, let's give some examples. Cleaning your car for sale. That's allowed. Okay, I want the guy to buy my car. So I'm going to clean it, so it looks shiny. Okay. What I'm not allowed to do is tell him it's a new car. Okay, and, you know, I have to say, I drove it, it's got 100,000 kilometers. The fact that I made it look nice so that he'd buy it, okay, that's allowed. What I'm not allowed to do is refurb it and claim it it's new. Advertising, we have a certain accepted standards. You're allowed to sell soda with an advertising where the water is dripping and it looks, you know, so delicious, okay, without getting into, you know, hopefully everybody's fully clad. I don't endorse advertisements where people aren't wearing clothing, but you're allowed to sell the soda where it looks like everybody's having fun. You drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi, whatever it is, and everybody's going to be having a party with you. Okay, that you're allowed to do. Okay, there's not that. We're all on board with the concept of advertisement. We understand. All you're selling is the drink, and people think, oh, I'm going to get that drink, and everything's going to be great. That's advertising. You can advertise ice cream with the syrup, even though you're only selling the ice cream, or only selling the syrup. Okay? Your sales counter in your store can have good lighting, not just good marketing. Okay, all this is accepted in society, and therefore, mutter and halacha. Okay? The halacha is only going to asser what isn't accepted and isn't the standard and is therefore misleading. A lot of supermarkets, places where they sell meat, they might add something to make the meat look fresher. So that if it's the industry standard might be to add some CO2 to your meat to make it look fresh, that's okay. But to start adding red food coloring or something might be problematic. When you go to the store, everything looks nice on me in the store, and I get home and it doesn't look so nice on me. And it's because, maybe the store mirrors look slimmer. So there might be Gneivas Das. But if everybody in the industry does it, then there might not be Gneivas Das. Okay, got it. If everyone knows, whichever store you go to is going to have good lighting and a positive salesman sitting there going, you look great. So everybody knows that. So, you let the buyer beware. It's your problem. Okay, but if you're going to do something that's not the industry standard, then we get into the halachic issue. The seder. Chafalf. Asur l'shabeach mecho b'mesh she'ein bo. Gam asur l'omar she'kanu ato b'kach b'kach mamon she'kfar natnu lo acherim kach b'kach mamon avro mash she'eino b'men. You can't praise merchandise for what it doesn't have. That would be lying. You also can't claim, I bought this for $100, so I'm selling it to you for $80. If it's not true. If it's true, you can say it. But if it's not true, you're not allowed to. You're saying, oh, I'm giving you a discount. A person might legitimately do that. You know, I bought a fan. I used it one summer. I didn't want it. So I said, I bought it for $50. And I did. And I'm selling it for $30. It's a great fan. Use it next summer. Use it all year long. Use it tomorrow. Whatever you want. But know that I bought it for $50 and I'm selling it for $30. And people came and bought it right away. Why? Because they're getting a fan for $30 instead of $50. And that's totally legitimate, because I did get it for $50. What I'm not allowed to do is say that same thing when it's not true. Chen asu l'socha l'farsem sh'mechir shel eiz ha'chevet zu kach v'kach v'mozil l'kach v'kach im b'med ha'mechir amiti ino kol kach yakar k'vishu kotev. Rak kotev ken k'ri l'atzud lev ha'roeh sh'chshov sh'mozil mod m'mechir ha'chevet. Okay, you can't say this item generally sells for $200. And I'm selling it for $50 unless it generally sells for $200. Okay? We are all used to what's in America. I don't know if you have that, something called the manufacturer's suggested retail price of this item. Okay? So you'll go to a store and they'll say $200, slash through it, and then $50. So everyone knows that no store ever really sells it for $200, and that's okay. Okay? But what you're not allowed to do is, if it's not really the price, right, you have stores that go in and say this item's on sale, and really it's the regular price, or the full price, the higher price is that. And everyone thinks they're getting a good bargain. So that would be a problem. Okay, that would be Gneivas Das. If people are thinking they're getting a bargain, they're not really. Mutar levakesh me'akoneh betchila mechir yoter yakar kedesh lachar she'akoneh yisav yitav imo yipashru mechir amiti. We know that there are places in the world where the price is a bargain, where you negotiate. So you say 10 and he says 20. And you say 12 and he says 18. I guess you meet at 15 or something in the middle, right? That's what's called a negotiation, bargaining, haggling over the price. There are places where that's the standard. So if you're the seller, you want to get the price that you want to sell the item at, which is, let's say, 15. But if you say 15, then you're not going to get 15 for it, because they're going to bargain you down until you get to 12 or whatever it is. So you're allowed to say 20. Even though 20, remember we did the rules of Onah, you're only allowed to go a sixth over. My opening price and my negotiation, my bargaining might be 20. Even though that's more than a sixth, that's allowed, since it's a system with bargaining. I'll tell you in the footnote of the book, which I didn't put on the sheet, he says it's probably best halachically that you let everybody know this is the one store we don't bargain. These are the prices. And people who come to that store know there's no bargaining and that's the prices, and then just make it 15. But there are places where that doesn't work. Where have the Hall Society, that's the thing they do, is they walk into a store, hear one price, and immediately bargain and try to get a cheaper price. So you're allowed to raise the price as your opening bid. And that opening bid can be even more than the 1/6 that we discussed when we did Hilchot Onah last time. Got it? Okay. So that was Chaf Aleph. Chaf Bet. You can't ask a guy the price of an item if you don't want to buy it. That's a real isser, going into a store and asking the price of an item when you're not interested in buying it. If a person wants to buy something, you send him to a guy who doesn't want to sell it. That's also not an item. So you can't ask a buyer to buy an item that you know it's not for sale or not available. The seller doesn't carry the item. You can't walk into a store to ask a price to find out if the one you bought already is a good price. What you are allowed to do before you buy an item, you're allowed to walk into 10 stores and ask the price. Shop around. Whichever store gives you the best price, or, you know, now that you already left the other 9 stores, if the 10th store is close enough to the close price without traveling back to the first one, so then you can do that. So you're allowed to go ask the price in all 10 stores because you are interested in buying it in whichever store is going to give you the best price. You do want to know what it's cost. But it's problematic to like get people to ask a store for a certain item. Like I once went to the Makolet and asked him if he had a certain item. And he said no. Okay. And so somebody said, you know, he said, if I get it, would you buy it? Great. He doesn't always offer that. What I can't do is start having 10 people ask him to get it, and then I'll get it, and I'm the only one who buys it. Now he carries it, and he has 10 of them in stock, and only one sold, because only I want it. That would be dishonest. What you are, you can encourage people, hey, everybody, if we ask the Makola guy, does he carry, you know, this product from South Africa or Australia, maybe he'll import it if there's enough of an interest. But everybody can only be asking for it if everybody's genuinely interested in it. Let's say your friend bought an item for $300, and you know it was on sale somewhere else for $200. So if he can return it, you could tell him. But if not, don't tell him. That's referred to as onas dvarim. You're going to make him feel bad for overpaying. But if a guy walks into a store and says, I bought this for $500. Is that a good price? So the store there can say, we sell it for $400. And why they're doing that? Not that he's going to go return it and do it, but that next time you'll know to come to me, I'm cheaper. That's allowed as well. A lot of times there are stores where you go in and you can have no intention of buying, they still want you to come. Bookstores, maybe, yeah, places like that. Because what happens? You'll start reading the book, and you'll be like, oh, this is a good book, I want to buy it. And that may be a significant customer base for them. So that's allowed to do as well. Okay, with that, we finished the Ramaud section. Let's quickly do the Nezek section, and we'll do the next time the Mischarim Yehudi. Nezek, Asur la'azik, Chav Gimel, Asur la'azik mamon chaveiro, v'afilu al dat l'shalem, v'lo l'gomro shum hezek, ben b'masa, ben b'dibor, ben b'ri'ya. So you can't cause damage to your friend's money, even if you intend to repay him for it. You can't cause him damage, whether with your actions, with your words, or with your sight. The damage is coming from your actions. If it's just happening, you can use your own property without concern over what's going to happen in his property. For example, you can't damage his property, you can't use his property without permission, like hanging up a sign, to dirty his property, to do any, even if you intend to pay him afterwards. You can't just decide, let my kid play on his lawn, and if he damages something, I'll do it. Unless you have that relationship with him where he says, you know, no problem, have your kids come play. But that's not the same. If you rent an item without stipulation, you can use it for any purpose. But if you rent an item for a specific purpose, you can't use it for harder work. And there are machmirim, so you can't even use it for easier work. If you rent it for a specific purpose, that's the purpose you can use it for. You can't perform something in your own property, it's going to damage your neighbor. That's with your action or even with your speech. For example, reporting something that your neighbor is doing to that you see that he didn't follow code C3X or whatever and has, his thing is 9 meters instead of 9.1, 8.9 and this and that. So if it's not hurt, if there's no damage that's going to be involved, so you're not supposed to be reporting him. There's something called Hezek Re'iyah. If you look at your friend's yard and you're going to see that he's, and you can watch him there, and therefore he's going to be afraid to do things in his yard that he would like to do if he had privacy, so you're not allowed to do that, that's referred to as Hezek Re'iyah. So let's say you... I think I covered most of those. The last example that I gave, and then I'll take your question, and with that we'll end, is let's say it's flooding. And whenever good rain comes, it floods my house because there's a crack in my foundation. So I'm going to have it filled. And then instead of the rain coming into my house, it's going to continue down the block. So as soon as I have it filled, what's going to happen in the next rain? Instead of flooding my house, it's going to flood the next guy's house. So I'm still allowed to fix it. I'm allowed to do something in my property without concern that it's going to cause damage to somebody else's property as long as the damage is on his own. I can't, drill in my property and it's going to destroy his property. Okay, that's where you're doing the damage. But here I'm fixing my property and that just means he's going to get damaged. So it might be a good idea to tell your neighbor, listen, I just fixed my foundation, and then you're going to get damaged in the next rainfall. That would be a good idea, but it's totally allowed for you to do that. I just finished Chof Dalid. Haroa mamon chavero nifsad, mitzvah lav latzilo. You see something's about to happen to your friend's item, you have to stop it. Chayav af letroach begufo latzil mamon chavero mishum ha'ashav ha'aveda. You have to even exert yourself in order to save your friend's item and return it to him. But you can't use friend A's item to save friend B's item. Certainly to use either friend's item to save your own item. Even by causing an issue. For example, if your friend's animal is attacking your animal, so you push his animal to save yours, even at the risk that his animal will die, it's permissible. But nonetheless, you have to limit the damage. So if you can save your animal without hurting his, even if it's at the expense of great effort, that you're hired to do. There are times you can save your possessions and the possessions of others if you tend to reimburse them. You've got a $1,000 item here, and your friend has a $5 towel or $10, and there's a little fire here, so you could take his $5 towel and, put out the fire and be like, listen, buddy, I'm sorry I ruined your towel, and it's a regular, it's the same towel they sell in Makola, whatever it is. Here, I'm sorry, I'll get you another one. That might be allowed. But not in general just to take your, there's a fire, let it burn that instead of my thing or something. Certainly not allowed to do something like that. Hashavas Aved is not only returning a lost item, it's also preventing a loss. So let's say in America there's something called, in certain places, something called alternate side parking. You know what that is? Certain days you're allowed to park on this side of the street, certain days on the other side of the street. Certain hours of the day you're not allowed to park on the street. This is true in New York City, I don't know how many other places, but so your friend is sleeping and they're about to ticket his car or tow his car, so you're supposed to wake up your friend and say, quick, move your car so it doesn't get ticketed or towed. Those are the examples. We'll end there. Tiva v'chatzima tova to all. You had a question?
The thing is, even if it's external cause, the stress to maybe do something else, that can be the noise in that as well.
Noise?
Yeah.
So you're allowed to do work in your home, even if it's going to make noise and it's going to disturb the person in the next home. In our society here in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered standard to not do that work between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, and not after a certain time of night, I forget after what time. So those are standards that we've created, and therefore it would be usher for you to violate those. In other words, for you to do your drilling between 2 and 4 or at 10 o'clock at night. And then you are, even though I'm in my own home, but you're clearly disturbing everyone hears the drilling, you're clearly disturbing everybody, you're not allowed to do that. But no one can say you're not allowed to drill in your own home. You might have certain, you know, times. Okay, 10 a.m. do it. And then you're allowed to. Okay, so yes, even noise can disturb. And then we have rules as to when you can do that. That would all fall in this category that's not been, you know, can you say that his property was worth $1 million and now it's still worth $1 million. Just because you drilled, nothing happened to it. But yes, in the meantime, in his property, he can't, you know, listen to his shear or music or think, or his baby's sleeping, he's going to wake up because you're drilling. So that is a form of damage, but a certain amount that it's accepted that we're all allowed to do. But, you know, we have to fix our items. Okay, Scott.